Okay, so you don't know where you put it.
I don't know where it went. Either it went somewhere and I can't find it, or it didn't go anywhere.
I'm not sure if I can record it or not. I probably can. I think I can record whatever's going on my computer on the VCR, but yeah. I'll leave it to you this time. Yeah. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
No. I mean, it would be nice to get, like, because I'm talking into a nice sort of condensery microphone, but, I'm sure you've got access to one of them. It probably would be sort of better quality, and it would sound like you were actually in the room if it was on a sort of a condenser type mic. But it don't matter for now. We've left this so long. We need to just do it and worry about the technicalities later.
Well, I don't think that the main point's high fidelity either, or ever has been. Really interesting sounds go on in the other.
I think that's my fetish, really. I think I've got this sort of expectation of it being sparkly quality, you know.
Swashbuckling Epiphany with Clark and Bruce, Episode 5, Cognitive Dissonance, Incognitos and ESP.
Wash it down with a pint. Lost mechanical into the night, where I was stripped to my side. By a desire to hide and cry, so much to run for. Goodbye. The shadows cut my laser light. At night in the corner of your eye, or where the twilight shines in orange hands. I'm walking out on the edge, walking the power line, line. Walking the power line. When a murderer crows, explodes in my face. The atmosphere grips me in a toxic embrace. I'm the seat for stairs, I stumble for the place. On the curb and I try to be straight. Power has a meaning for my head. Give me away. Walking out on the edge. Walking the power line. Walking the power line. Walking the power line. Down with the pines, lost mechanical into the night, where I was flipped to my side. Find a desire to hide and cry, to close my eyes, to sleep forever. If we close our eyes, to sleep forever. Good night.
About the other swashes, I never had a really close listen to all of them. It's strange because I never get sick of listening to them. Oh no, that's terrible in a way. It's a bit plain and conceited, but I don't get bored. But they're so vast and long, all of them.
Yeah, I know.
It's a real effort to get through one.
Yeah,
I dipped into them all, and I think the peeps element we discussed at the beginning really worked. The diarist sort of elements stood up way more than I expected.
Yeah.
I mean, did I tell you, I'm not sure if I did. Let's put it on the record anyway. Stephen and Michael Stride listened to them all.
Oh, yeah.
They were pissing themselves laughing. They fucking loved it. They didn't understand a word we were on about most of the time, they admitted.
Yeah.
But they really did find it great. And I realised they were hearing, they were listening to us like we were Beavis and Butthead or something, you know. But it worked for them on that level.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
oh my God, I've scandalised myself now.
I think the funny thing about it is that a lot of when we started doing them, because it was a longish time ago, wasn't it? It was like 2008 or even slightly before that, 2006 maybe.
Yeah,
it wasn't this kind of whole sort of talk radio, talk TV, made by people in their homes was not a thing.
No, it wasn't.
Whereas it very much is now. You know, it's actually a sort of media that most people I know consume on some level or another.
Yeah, it's a good way of opening a story, isn't it? The day the future actually arrived and caught everyone with their pants around their ankles, you know. That's what's happened, it's come. Yeah. I always felt like it. I remember talking to you, I think it was back in the Mia days.
Yeah.
Talking to you on Skype from Denmark. Do you remember that?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
And it was like, I got such a fucking out in space feeling. Such a space shuttle sort of feeling, isn't it?
When
you have pictures.
Yeah.
I still get that little feeling, even when I talk to Lisa quite regularly, and I already talked to her with the camera.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it might be worth doing a visual one later on, and then, you know, tiger hoodie on or whatever. You can wear an interesting hat each.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that's the thing. So when we first did it, no, there wasn't anyone doing any kind of sort of recorded long distance media.
When people see the date, they'll fall over, won't they?
Yeah, I know. But is that nowadays? It's actually commonplace for people to do sort of, you know, dual videos. You know, where you've got one. Yeah, you've got one camera in one side and one camera in the other, and it's very commonplace now.
I think it would be good for you to do one of these with Cooper, specifically on the Lunatics. Because among other things, we've got all those good tracks to put in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And in terms of actually, you know, obviously he's not a full-time job, but in terms of getting a more audience for the Swash, which it's definitely worth...
Mm.
Definitely worth a bigger audience.
Yeah.
One way of doing that is to put a couple of fucking second album tracks on there first.
Yeah.
Which we're ready to do. We've got two that are almost releasable now, really, and that's before we've been near a studio, so...
Yeah.
But there's that, but there's also, of course, Dog in a Playground. But it'd be nice to do a Handmade by Zealots one and talk to Izzy, too, with a book and the rest, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And, or maybe even, you know, Ho-Ho, a three-way. Because everybody's got a quickish computer now, joining and or is easy, so we can do that little expanding out into some other guests thing, definitely, can't we?
And I think doing it on a sort of semi-regular basis, obviously kind of committing to committing to broadcast.
In a way, it'd be great to have to do one a week, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
But having said that, I mean, in terms of the peeps thing, certainly for a year minimum, we should try it on us.
Yeah.
I mean, we might get another six that way.
No, I think you're right. I think we definitely need at least four annually. Yeah.
I mean, all ego and personal interests aside, they're fucking fascinating to listen to, I'm sure.
They are. I mean, they're fascinating for
it's
us to listen dark to.
Bullshit, you know. If they think it's funny and fascinating, then they'll say so, you know.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. But I think my point earlier on, where I was leading on to, was people are actually used to consuming this kind of media, you know, and they find it fascinating because it's a window into somebody else's conversation. So it's eavesdropping, you know, basically, isn't it?
Well, at Christmas, after Christmas,
oh my God,
this is done. And in the spring, I'm hoping it's going to be back to Peacehaven, and then it's going to be Handmade by Zealots Records, Cooper's house producer, and Radio Zealot, you know.
Yeah.
And as the more Swash and Arnie we got, you know, the better.
Yeah.
We're doing Arnie one, can't we? Because that's going to be a goodie. I'll have to go and listen to them and list the names, because that's... The central joke, really, is naming the loonies in Abbey Road, the Dung Beetles, you know. That's really my... I tell you, honestly, my two favourite moments from Arnie so far, And like the Swash, we put these place, put these things in one place sometime, couldn't we? They should be on the Zealot side, both of them, really.
No, I tell you what we should do. We should actually do an internet radio station like Dandelion does.
Yeah, why not? We've got more likes than Dandelion.
The thing is that with the Swashies, we've got at least 4 hours worth of material already.
And all
you need is like
three of Arnie as well.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. See, so you intersperse Swashies with and then you just add things to the schedule and just do it on a monthly basis.
I tell you this, I'd happily make another show of everybody's music, but the problem is, can we do that? It's the copyright situation, or would we have to go?
Well, it gets fiddly, especially when, you know, as we had this conversation about sort of publishing contracts.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very well, we can do whatever we like with the music that we make.
Yeah.
But when you do a publishing contract and then you broadcast it, it doesn't matter that you made it, you're actually infringing the contract.
Got vast archives, you, me and Andy and G.
Oh, yeah.
So we could do the All Mates show.
Yeah, yeah.
I could definitely do a sort of left field electro show, as you could, yeah. And as Cooper could, probably.
Yeah. Well, we've got
the next Swash. Actually, we could make it, you heard it here, folks, first. Make it a grand zealot meeting job, couldn't we?
Yeah.
And telly in with fucking, at least Andy and his, and maybe Trev, sort of thing, and that'd be worth having in the archive. Yeah. But we need, I think, also all of us to somehow get all our fucking heads together. If necessary, I'll pay for us all meet somewhere smart, like a proper business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We'll all meet up somewhere. Whoever it's easiest for, maybe. If we wait till spring, I don't want to wait till spring, actually, because teleconferencing is definitely the answer. We need to try and make it so.
Yeah, well, we can do that.
We need to hone that blade next year, because we've created loads of attention and no sales.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean that we can't carry on growing it.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Since January, Phil, there's no way. Even if we'd sold exactly zero, as opposed to 20-something between Bandcamp and iTunes, but we don't know about November yet.
No.
So, you know, November could be another 10.
Oh,
or another 1,000, you don't know. But the thing is, you have to build these things, and they don't, as you know, and what we all know from the dogs and many other things and afterwards, it takes years now. Unless you get, you know, the left-field random break, which you play for.
Yeah.
You play for them. I mean, I'm working... Radio, national radio employees are fucking must to shift iTunes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hello. You know? Am I coming out over the speakers now?
In here, you have been all along.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm catching sort of glimpses of it. I think it's probably noise cancelling because it knows I'm talking and it cancels that bit out. But
I'm just thinking maybe I should bring the mic a bit nearer because I've got a feeling that you might be getting kitchen sounds.
Tight.
Hello, you're right. Is this microphone really good then? Because I've never really all of this talked the least right, I never really considered it.
It's decent quality, but it does cut out, and I think that's a bandwidth thing. I think it also makes a difference when I'm talking. You cut out more when I'm talking, so you have to kind of make an effort to stop talking when the other person's talking. That's all. And that's really boomy.
Yeah, that's the good mic. I'm just wondering if having a good mic on
I think the reason it's boomy is because it's coming over the speakers. If you put some headphones in, then it probably wouldn't.
Oh, that's a good point, isn't it? Let me try that. Whoop. Fart. Oh, that means taking my hood down. Mind you, it is warming up now. The heating's kicking in.
Yeah.
It's been fucking cold.
I know. We've had the heat in full blast, and it's still chilly up here.
I was talking away there briefly but couldn't hear you.
All
but
right.
Yes, as the temperatures dropped and it blew in from the west last night and today.
Yeah.
You must have got a bit of that down with you.
Definitely.
And the other thing I was going to say, we talk about copyright and other people's material. They've hit the pirates hard, haven't they, in the last few days? Have you seen that?
Mm.
Really have.
Yeah.
They, I think they, well, I know they busted and shut down Pirate Bay HQ in Sweden and arrested someone. And they've really closed. It's the worst anyone remembers in terms of shutdown, you know.
Yeah. Well, it happens from time to time, you know.
Yeah, it sure do. And I think what I said online might be worth repeating here. It's true. In one way, it is fat lord versus drug dealing pornographers, you know.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And we do a jolly in the middle, oh, yeah, help yourself to that comic and this. But they're addicts, aren't they? Who, like, you know, I don't know, I won't name names, but they get, you know, 20 movies a week and every new
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They are addicted.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of psychic trauma where they're now withdrawing at the moment. That might be the angst you've been feeling, because I woke up namelessly anxious.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to be anxious about at all. I know this.
Yeah.
I really know it. But I just had it as a physical effect.
Yeah.
What I'm worrying about, fuck all. But I'm really worrying about it.
I know.
I've had something.
I've had that same sort of, as we've spoken about before, I've had that same kind of nameless dread, you know, and you just think, it's not anything specific. It's just like sort of...
Great name for a reggae artist.
Nameless dread.
I'm having that for Arnie.
Yeah, yeah. there is obviously a masked
thread. You sample that now, eh? That's on the Sinatra Test album.
You betcha. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it, when you get that sort of general feel for something in the air. I've always been very sort of sensitive and open to that, because you know, it's like that thing when you know someone's just about to knock on the door, you sort of, something in you perks up and you think, oh, hang on, what's that? And then the doorbell goes and you think, oh, it's a door. You know,
I think it's linked to the Pirate Bay thing. I think I woke up with that feeling of, shit, the world is full of pissed off thieves today. You know, a bad description.
But you're right though. I mean, it's a kind of an addiction. I mean, people download stuff, and I think, you know, it's like fair use, isn't it? If you download a couple of things and it's freely available on the internet, you didn't have to go looking for it or subscribe to some service or log into anything. If you can go to it and download it, then fair enough. But if you're downloading thousands of tracks, you're not going to listen to them.
It's an illness. It's like the difference between a nicely kept and beautiful to observe collection and psychosis. You know, the two are a fine line.
Yeah, yeah.
As we know, I think we've even swatched this before, you know, collecting is a form of psychosis. Yeah, we covered it when we covered clearing out your head and cupboards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the plainness
that
you crave when you get older, I think, the clutter.
Yeah.
And I have that, and I have oral and visual clutter, you know.
Yeah.
And it just goes zzz on me like fucking chewing a milk bottle top. You know?
Yeah, Jude has a similar problem. She faced her sort of clutter demons long ago, and she's had to contend with the
arrival of you and yours.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, to her credit, she hasn't flipped out. You know, at least not much.
Yes.
there's still time. But
I think
she's been very good about it. And but I having to move, I do get it. You know, I really got it. But during the move, I suddenly thought, all of a sudden I realise what things are important because they're important objects or they're important sort of stimulation.
You don't notice. I do because our stories are different. But you don't notice, I don't think. At the point where one's no longer ready to go in moments. You know, these anchors and roots, you're like a tree without being corny.
Yeah.
You don't realise how deep and far your roots are, you know. But my story's been different. I've had the upheavals that have meant I've been back to rucksack and guitar slightly more recently, you know.
Yeah.
Slightly more recently is the fairest way of describing it, because clearly you tried that, you know, earlier than me, really. But, you know, I think that those roots you put in, you know, they're partly vital and fantastic and inevitable, and partly a fucking bind, you know.
Yeah.
Partly restrictive. It's like everything. It's the essential doubleness of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you have to be aware. You have to be sort of self-aware. Yeah, love and resent title.
Well, loving and resenting, it's cognitive dissonance, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the new world now, you know. You've got to realise there's grit and grime on everything, you know, as well as a sheen. on the other side, didn't it?
Well, sometimes grit can, you know, help with a polish, but other times it can just...
When people get their head around that, not to be too clever or pseudo, let's do that. Let's do that instead. I mean, really, when people realise this, racism will reduce massively, because, to be xenophobic requires an inability to grasp cognitive dissonance, the other is me, for all the good and the bad, and also even the recognizing of the fact that the dark stranger you fear is also you, of course, sued alert, but and I think that cognitive dissonant thing's fucking brilliant, because it's a flag for evolution going on, ain't it? That it's become an almost popular term, if you like.
I think you're right as well, because it's not until you accumulate a lot of stuff that you don't really need that you have to protect it from people you don't know.
The little vicar with the angel and the demon on his shoulder, we've always disagreed with ourselves, haven't we?
I think it's about self-awareness. You've got to be self-aware enough to know where the dividing line is between putting down roots and having a bit of stuff. And when you're actually welded to the ground, immovably so, and you can't carry everything that you own, you know.
Allegorically and spiritually, as well as actual practically and materially.
Yeah.
And on the practical and material level, those roots are multiplied by children. And in our case, as you know, parents, they increased massively and quickly and significantly without you really noticing or registering them properly.
Yeah.
As time passed, with children, they do they do encourage growth.
Yeah, downwards.
but that's okay.
That's part of that self awareness thing, I think, where you kind of you allow the roots to grow, but you bear in mind that you're cultivating something that needs to be harvested, you know. And then when you've harvested, you move on, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting in the way it segues into gender stereotypes, isn't it? Because, you know, it isn't actually that women are more nest feathery, although, well, they are. Yeah. But they only are because they've been traditionally doing it in, you know, for a long time. But whoever's there will do it to whatever extent, won't they?
Well, it's nature plus nurture plus, you know, adaptation.
Yeah. And then back round twice. Yeah. twice more round that bloody roundabout. Yeah, I do, and I think I notice it. Oh, I've been really, I might as well get straight to this, because I've been really on this, how conditioned we are, you know, and how much it affects our contentment and output, but also how positive we are, because we've got all this, we should be doing this at this time, you know, like we're all trained up to be 9 to 5. I'm much more sort of fizzy and full of ideas on a Saturday and Sunday morning than any other, noticeably so. Because of years of being, you know, living in the Protestant work ethic and the, you know, Western world's capitalist fucking TikTok calendar life, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you do. You become so conditioned by that, and you're so self-conditioning in the end, you know. Oh, you lazy bugger, just lying there doing now, you know.
Yeah.
You go on. You know, and at the same time wondering why everyone can't chill out whilst not doing it yourself, of course, you know.
Yeah, it's a
obsession of mine lately, because I've started to spot it, you know.
Yeah, it is a problem, this problem of the imperative to constantly move forwards, you know. And so and in so doing, it's similar to the putting down roots thing in a way. You have to keep moving, you have to keep working. If you're not working, then you're being lazy.
You think I'd be used to it by now. They used to say, and you heard it all the time probably from your own grandparents and uncles and dad, if you stop, you drop. That's slave talk.
It totally is.
Yeah,
but there's this thing, I see it in people.
No, it's today. We'll get there in the end,
I see it in people I know, this drive forwards, and it's okay to be busy, it's okay to do everything that needs doing, but if you don't rest in between, and if you don't contemplate in between, then you'll never be whole, you know.
Yeah, you won't. You've got to have a version of you at ease.
There's got to be a working version of you and a resting version, and rest is not lazing about. Rest is a necessary white to the black, you know.
Yeah. Delusions of achievement play in here, because, you know, we've got too many people and therefore not enough jobs, you know. There's plenty to do for everyone, though, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's about this, if I do loads more, I will somehow have bettered, you know. We're back to the same old fucking hollow competition, which needs to go out the window when the cognitive dissonance takes over. And people realise they'd like to spend half the week dressed as a fucking, you know, superhero, fishing, I don't know, you know, or doing anything.
Yeah.
And then the other half serving society, you know, doing their dues.
Yeah.
The deal was that simple, then I think that we'd have more balance. But clearly, I'm a crazy.
It's not simple. It's not simple because the employers have become schizophrenic. They've become mentally ill.
Society is, you know, there's.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, it is actually it's a sickness. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that's the problem. You go to work somewhere, if you have a couple of days, you can't have more than 2 or 3 days off before they almost threaten to sack you.
Yeah. You know?
And they say, well, you work between 9 and 5, but of course you've got to come in earlier than that, and you've got to stay later than that. They wonder why they have a high turnover of staff, because they're killing these people, you know?
Yeah. Well, they have been, and feel far more literally than that, and in far worse ways. Stress, of course, is the great uncounted one.
Yeah.
You know, you could argue that every stroke and fucking heart attack ever, arguably, or certainly a massive percentage of them.
And that's
are on the captains of industry, you know.
Absolutely, because that's where the stress comes from. If they treated people well, and they knew people's limitations, and people, and they paid them properly, you know, instead of keeping all the money for themselves, then you know, they would be happily work for them. They'd happily do it day after day. They'd serve with glee, you know.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. And interestingly, this we're back on old man Dawkins again, as we like to. Richie Rick. Because this does play into that, doesn't it? This idea of, you know, the survival of the fittest, you know. Mm. If this is the case and survival's the bottom line, then we'll all quit work for our health.
Yeah.
How's that worked out for you, Darwin? You know.
Yeah. It's unfortunately,
they're endless, of course, aren't they, with this idea, because and we've covered this before as well.
Yeah.
Oh my god, themes, who knew?
Yeah.
The Darwin's machines.
Yeah.
You know, this everything is a mechanism.
Yeah.
That can be explained logically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Enjoy your life. You know, and the world that I smell and feel in my bollocks when you say that stuff. Because trust me, you're welcome to it.
Yeah,
we live in our own worlds, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And I think that's the problem with employment in the modern age as well, is that they treat people like servants or machines, you know. People aren't machines. They're inexplicable, random, irrational animals, you know.
We'll be handed out en masse our P-45s as soon as the robots are good enough, trust me.
You know, yeah, damn straight.
We are
messy,
dirty, noisy, dangerous servants, you know.
Yeah.
Every one of us is.
Well, who was it who said the other day?
We're the peasants, and we really are revolting.
Who is it who said the other day about as soon as the first sort of functional AI is produced, that we're basically doomed?
Hawking said it. AI will render humanity obsolete.
Yeah.
The first thing that AI will do is logically work out that mankind is a blockage in the pipe. It's basically summarising what he said. Something like that. An old Geordie friend of mine nearly ended the theory of everything, reversing into a car park in Cambridge after a Sunday football match. He nearly literally took Hawkins out on his wheelchair, who he'd never heard of, in one of the more primitive. He's our Geordie goalkeeper, I think that says it all, doesn't it? It's the goalkeeper. And he went, out the way, you bloody cabbage! You know, at the cleverest man on the planet. You're in everything my arse, mate. You sit there in the middle of the car park in your wheelchair, waiting for a car or something. He literally did, I promise you, reverse and miss him by about an inch. I went, fucking, and he just took out Hawking. Put in the arse. It was actually him, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was it. My Geordie mate, Rob Barnett, who one day will hear this, and then he'll leave a message on you going, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
He was inches, and also Naomi's brother Kerry was there at the time as a witness too.
Yeah,
because we were in the football team together, weren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So four footballers in there, and we nearly took out. Imagine that. One way to sell the record, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to buy a record, because although we could easily have taken out Stephen Hawking, we didn't. So you know,
well,
we deserve
the
credit
best
for that.
About it, really, the way you know, it's just a fabulous and audacious. Contempt of the normal working man, which is exactly what Rob is. He's a no bullshit, down to earth guy. And I've got Hawkins. You nearly just killed. He went, never heard of him, stupid cabbage. That is how he talked. It was amazing. It was like some sort of I don't know, if you were the guy on the beeper, your thumb would drop off, because him and his boy and his wife used the F word as a comma. But it was amazing, because he actually holds the world record for getting the most fucks into a sentence. Fuck off, fucking Luke, you fucking little fucker. Go away, son. You're misbehaving. Stop fucking about and fuck off, fucking Luke, you fucking Oh, amazing. Amazing.
I'm sure Peter Capaldi's on that top 10 for his in the thick of it tenure.
Yeah. Couldn't work out why everyone. He was one of those guys who used to drive us to work in the days of the freezer, you know.
Yeah.
And he was one of those guys who couldn't work out why everyone else didn't realise he was in a hurry. You know, it was inexplicable to him that they weren't pulling over on the hard shoulder and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was fantastic, scary, stroke. Hilarious, you know. Me and Vince French used to go with him, and we used to see, he'd be in tears because he'd cut people up and go, "The way you're stupid idiot!" Like, it was their fault. You know, imagine being there when I've got to go through. You know, incredible.
I think it is at the root of all that sort of stuff, where basically people were just forging ahead, and they can't actually imagine why anyone else would have a different plan other than to get out of their way.
It's a famous cartoon, isn't there? And it's where the guy gets in the car and turns into a monster. It might be Disney.
I think it was. I'm thinking Goofy.
Service style, though. You know, like in the. I think it might have been drawn by the guy who did. Who was the blind bugger?
Mr. Magoo. Oh,
Magoo. I think it's that style of drawing.
Yeah.
The curly back, Frenchish sort of background.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets in his car and turns into a beast, a devil.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
And they all do. It's about that. It's about road rage. But it's from the 50s or something.
Yeah.
I think, do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I was just thinking, random, but it just came into my mind there. We were thinking about my mate Rob and that cartoon, and then I was thinking, we'd have to nick that for a Bosch track. We're going into Meltdown in their cartoon 60s cars. It's perfect.
Yes, that is. I think, when we listen back to this, I'll hunt it down and we'll put a link or something in it.
Definitely. We'll have to think about loads of new music since the last swash. Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you, as it's been 2 years away.
You would hope so. Well, how long has it been since the last
swash? I've no idea. We're so professional.
I think it's... I seem to remember I listened back to it, and it was probably about two... I'm not sure. I think it was about 2007. Hang on. Think amongst yourselves while I have a little look. But
I was thinking about that with pictures. Is there be pictures of you and I both looking away from the camera at the screen and Googling everything?
Yeah, yeah.
And in the end, can you imagine that people will rely on Google? And now I feel like a druid. There's no future in that writing things down. It'll soften your memory. We covered that before too.
Yeah, we
get
did
in trouble for taking notes.
This whole thing of the reason that nobody can spell and everyone spells everything phonetically is they type what they think is English and it comes up as English, but because it's been autocorrected,
fabulous. It's poetry.
Yeah, yeah. They come up with this.
Ginsburg, it's go.
Come up with this gibberish.
How great! And I know I put a piece of generic sort of. Funky hip hop y sort of music, trip hop music on it, but how great is that Moloch section of Howl? You know? It's fabulous.
I've just got the Swashbuckler Epiphany website up, which still exists.
Yeah, I know it does. I was on it the other night.
I'm pretty sure that this episode 4 was 2007, according to this.
Blimey.
That can't be right, but I guess it might be.
Well, I'll tell you what, as well, the time it was dated as put up is probably later than the time it was done as well.
So, yeah, it's been a number of years, shall we say.
Yeah, it's 7.
There's people...
specific.
Yeah, there's people doing paper rounds who weren't alive when we did it.
Oh, man. You're showing your age. 7-year-olds with paper rounds, behave yourself.
It's the only job I could think
42 of. 42-year-old poles these days, mate. slightly xenophobic, but true.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you're right, though, because I had one at 9 and 10.
Mm, yeah.
It's quite common, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, it was.
Oh. I know, those
back in the day. Back in the day.
I don't know, I can't imagine, but it might come to me how much I was paid. It's one of those things with me with numbers that they'll randomly pop back.
Yeah.
I can't summon them ever, you know.
Yeah.
Or get them to mount up, you know.
I have a faint notion that when I did a paper round, and being like dyslexic and ADD, of course I didn't keep the job for very long because I was couldn't deliver a paper to literally save my life. But
Larry first.
You get distracted reading the paper and then wake up in a hedge. But I'm pretty sure that I got paid ten bob a week.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually. Yeah. I might even have been given a 10 bob note for mine.
Ten shillings, yes.
Ten bob notes.
Yeah.
Good God.
I miss them so.
I can't believe it.
I used to do a paper round. It was Beardo's down the bottom of the high street in Hemel.
Yeah, I did mine for the Heights. Yeah, I can't remember where it was.
Was that a Bunce's up there?
Yeah, Bunce's, yeah. Yeah. This is, we're going international now.
Yeah, Bunce's. It's funny because something cropped up on Facebook the other day. Someone put a picture of Belgate Shops.
Oh, yeah.
And I was looking at the names of the shops and I was thinking, bloody hell, I'd completely erased those from my memory, but as soon as I read them, it all came flooding back.
Some of them are still the same. Lutz was still there.
Yeah.
Recently, and Lemon Place was still called that, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was my regular chippy, obviously.
Shit fucking name. Yeah. Good chippy, though. Yeah, we used to go there. It used to be the local for Grove Hill.
Yeah.
Back until relatively recently.
Yeah. No,
this
sure.
is worth mentioning that I went to, with the Lunatics, well, with Andy and George. Hmm. To be on Decorum Radio, and the headquarters was in the very hall the Loonies used to rehearse in. Ben Stride broadcasts from the room where we were doing, you know,
originally rehearsed.
Yeah, Locomotive Breath and the early versions of I Love You and so on, and Machine Guns in the same hall, which is weird enough. But where we stood outside the old community centre to have a smoke in between the DJing, because he put like four tracks and some adverts on. Out we go.
Yeah.
From where I stood, I could see where my tree used to be. I used to sneak out at night and go and sit in, you know.
Yeah.
When I was sneak onto the little veranda of the Grove Hill, run along beneath the neighbours' windows quietly, like Gollum.
Yeah.
And drop down, and then run and go and sit in my tree, but and do the poetry by candlelight, Bohemian thing and that, and the feral, you know, wild man.
Yeah.
Which now, looking back, and I've said this a lot recently, and certainly easy to be bored by it, but that wild man phase is a must for any bardic or poet, isn't it? It's almost a given that they'll have some sort of big country connection when they were younger that they yearn for and partly go back to. It's just a cliche.
Yeah.
But I could see where that tree stood.
Mm.
From where we were having a fag at Decorum.
Yeah.
Outside the hall where we put the Loonies together in, among others, the huts too. And that was where Simon Hansen lived.
He
moved into a house built pretty much where my tree was. Time, you know.
Oh, wow.
Calendar pages were flying away as I stood there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right. I could see it superimposed on your face there.
Your voice.
Yeah, it's was that
calendar pages flew on his through his voice.
Is that the house Simon moved into after he moved out from Matt's? Because he used to live in Matt's cupboard, didn't he? Do you remember?
I'm not really, because I wasn't really connected to him for ages.
No.
I knew him back when Gary Cleaver gave him the Otway job so that he could be in the Loonies.
Yeah.
He gave Simon Hansen that roadies job and then joined the Lunatics. He left Otway and Barrett, Gary, to be in the playing.
I think Matt and Simon were more in my orbit than yours at that stage, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I've never really been in orbit with Matt, I must say. But Simon, at the Otway and Barrett period, even though Gary had gone, we still hung out with Otway, if you remember. We used to, when I lived above Free and Easy in Aylesbury, they used to be in there a lot, used to come in there a fair bit, and we'd been upstairs jamming a few times. But also, they used to, Simon used to use their van for other stuff to make money.
Yeah.
Well, and help people out, and he used to put Otway and Barrett's kit in my garage in Runcorn when we had the new Dadda.
Yeah.
So, you know, my dad's like, what's all that? My mum's like, what's all that stuff in the garage? And it was the shit stick and, you know, all Otway's, Barrett's Fender twin reverb and the PA and everything in there, yeah. Most excellent.
Clandestine, I've been
happening like a Roxy music song. She's the sweetest queen I've seen forever so long. Helen, are we friends? I'll tell you once again, there's nothing they can fret you with. It's at the end of all this pain.
The other thing is, the fella that you know from the film school, is he playing Constantine?
Yeah, he's in the series, Matt.
Is he Jocko?
Eh?
Is he Constantine?
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, I know. I was watching the show and somebody mentioned something and they mentioned his name and I was...
Well, name
for,
him,
for ages, I was thinking, it's Matt Evans, isn't it? Matt Evans?
Yeah, probably.
It
looked like him. The photo did look like.
I'm going to have to look it up now because it's been a long week and my brain's a little bit fried.
Yeah, you've got an in there because you need to send that picture from the Bath School to the TV studio that make Constantine and go, John, young John, you're welcome. Give me a shout if you need any editing to it. Yeah, you see how I operate, can't you?
Yeah. Well, we're doing that usual thing where we're munging people's names and.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm leading it into comic, superheroes on the telly.
Yeah. All right, you're segueing.
That was a fabulous segue.
It was a very, Matt Ryan, there you go, Matt Ryan.
Did I mention that my mate knows John Constantine? There's your title.
I the thing is that Matt was at the school when I was first starting, so he was one of the first group of students at the Bristol Theatre School, and several of the people that were in that year I still know, but I didn't get to know Matt.
I didn't get to, with him, just to clear it up for listeners.
I didn't get to know Matt very well, but I did. I certainly spoke to him a number of times, and I certainly sort of helped him out with his CV I helped him print out his CV, which kicked him off in his career. I take no more credit than the people who taught him how to speak and act.
It's all long-term, yeah. Well, it's all long-term Grant Morrison-type plans now for DC, so he's probably John Constantine for life.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a rumour, oh my God, it'll be a while before you put this up, but there is a rumour he's going to be cancelled after one series, which is a shame, because it's
not... That'd be a damn shame, because it's actually a pretty good show.
I quite like it, yeah.
Mm.
I do.
I think Matt's really good in it as well.
I was going to say, did I mention I know the guy, my mate knows John Constantine. Swashbuckler title moment, surely.
Yeah.
My mate knows John Constantine and others. But he'd always be John to me. If he might be Matt to you, but he's John. Yeah, me and Izzy, apropos of thinking we don't want to get into comics, you and I, with our form and history.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, it is a swash by request later subject, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
Because clearly we're both of us, you know, ego the living planet when it comes to comics. And mixed with the mad thinker and... In pick the Mekon and Modok, yeah, big heads, no legs. That's right. You get the picture.
I do. Big heads and no legs. Yeah.
If we do a camera one, it'd be great fun to edit in pictures and relevant bits of film, wouldn't it? Well, the talk carries on, and not hard to do.
No.
Why, I could do it on Windows Movie Maker. Yeah. As I've often been forced to.
it's not hard to do. And the thing is about setting up for... I mean, the thing is, regularity has its own benefits with regards to swash, because the more we do, the more the kit is already set up or is easily set up.
Yeah.
And we don't have to, what I kind of had to do now, kind of reinvent the wheel in order to do it, you know.
Well, we could... one way of delivering it, I found out a lot about this through the bands that I've promoted, you know, through the granddads and that. The best way to deliver it, I wanted to deliver the Hammer and Knife song, is a perfect example of this. And I put that footage of me in the sea, and you see Buster a bit at the end when the track's coming. Yeah. And it worked great, but I just wanted a way to get the track up on Facebook.
Yeah.
I haven't got a facility to put a track up, really, unless you're sharing it from YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, remind me YouTube in a minute. But the thing is that you could do that with a swash, of course. You can have the sound. And then just have pictures relevant to what's being said and bits of footage that are nice. You know, we're talking, obviously, you could have some footage from Constantine. I'm sure no one will worry about that as it needs its promotion, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do think that that's one way forward, isn't it? To have the swashes with footage and montages.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can submit things to iTunes and have them pop up as podcasts, but I think these days that's a bit of an add-on, you know, because most people who consume... you know, radio stations, they either tune in on internet radio or they tune in on the web or they tune in on their phone, and it was okay when the computer was the only way in, or the iPod, but now, you know, a lot of things are and also the course that I did was all audio, and they actually took it off the system, or at least they don't index it because it doesn't contain video. People want video these days, even if it's even if it's just a still.
I know, but what you do is you learn to create hammers and knives instead of, you know, silly picture slides with the horrible fucking music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The song's good enough. You're gonna have to go some. It's a really moving song. I know that, and performance. So you're gonna have to go some to fuck it up, really, to some extent.
Yeah.
So when the swash is already quite funny or gripping. It ain't going to hurt to have images flash up while you listen to it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you sit and listen to the Danny Baker show, you look at the same photo of Danny.
Yeah.
When you stream it,
yeah.
I think you probably can watch him through a cam, but that's not, there's only so much you can chuckle at his pirate hat or whatever, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Lyra, the assistant, and I've never seen her, so that's not true, but, you know.
Yeah.
Inverted commas. Yeah, but I say this. Let me cut... to the superheroes on telly thing, so there is a basic theme, you know. I just like the idea because I don't, as you know, you're Mr. Movie and TV, and I don't really have much to do with it at all. But I do love me a superhero, you know, and always have. And so I thought I'll go and check a few of these new ones out with an open mind.
Yeah.
And by open mind, I mean usually I'm already decided that all mainstream modern culture is shit. The last good thing was probably Joyce, you know.
Yeah.
But, so bearing that in mind, I'll be honest, because I love to. I love the idea that you can forget what you think you're meant to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it sounds complicated, but it's true.
Yeah.
And I just ended up by, to be honest, by accident, watching it really open-mindedly, I think.
Mm.
And I realised that, I'll talk first about The Flash, you know.
Yeah.
And I've seen the first 8 episodes of it.
Mm.
And it's a good-hearted show.
Yeah.
The show has got a good heart. The scriptwriter's warm, positive.
Mm.
And it's just lovely, and I felt a bit ashamed of being so cynical.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you suspend, which I have no problem suspending my cynicism, because, you know, I spend half my time in... Yeah, spend half my time in New Genesis and, you know, Marvel's various universe versions of New York and so on.
Yeah.
So, but I do... I was... My first thing thought I thought was, this stuff is way better than what they used to do and they used to be able to do. They can do it now, in other words, CGI and what it is.
Yeah, you can do pretty much anything you can think.
You can. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy pushed it again, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, a believable Groot and Rocket. Who thought ever? They weren't even believable when they were drawn.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it is a fucking lovely piece of work on a purely
Guardians
kiddie,
is,
kids
Guardians
toy. Yeah, CGI kid toy, superhero boys sort of film, fab. But also, again, good-hearted.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Totally.
And I think that's very true of Guardians and The Flash. I try to keep it to TV.
Yeah.
There's been so many bad superhero movies and so many beautiful-looking, fabulously made bad ones.
Yeah.
And the thing I think really recommends... Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. Less so Constantine.
Mm.
Something to do with the actress in that, too. I don't want to slander her because she's probably fantastic.
Yeah,
she seems to try a bit too hard in that. If you've seen The Flash, I don't know.
No.
But in The Flash, they don't. There's one that does and one that don't. But the heart of it is Flash is good natured and it's like Batman. You know, it's funny. The ridiculous bits are funny.
Yeah.
And the good bits are good.
Yeah.
I.e., these special effects. So when Flash is zips by and he catches somebody before they fall on a car from a height. And they slow it briefly and you see him. It's fabulously done, is what I'm saying. It looks great.
Yeah.
So there's none of that, what you used to have, which was, this is okay, except all the stunts and effects and villains are shit. Mm. You know,
yeah.
All those effects are great. I mean, I'll say this as well. Whoever did the title sequence for Constantine, they've got a future in that business, because it's really brilliant, that burning damned souls sort of sequence.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be working on heavy metal videos forever, aren't they, at least? Sorry, there's probably some, you know, whiz kid art genius, but you know, I think it'd be a tragedy. I know there's a ream of rubbish telly, millions wasted on vacuous vanity projects and cack, and we know this, it's a given, and not just in Hollywood, everywhere on earth, basically. Yeah. And you and I tend to think people are starving, remember, you know, make money, or B. Make a fabulous, worthwhile point, you know.
Yeah.
It's the only option now to actually do a movie and even be a proud of it, I'd say. Yeah. Is if it's, you know, 12 Years a Slave or hugely money-spinning hokum like Guardians, really, you know.
Yeah.
The Stan Lee thing. You know, we're transporting people to New Genesis, you know, Kirby view, Kirby vision.
Brilliant. Yeah.
All movies are Kirby vision now, aren't they? Always? He really is so influential. It was a real pleasure to see his sort of peak, wasn't it, you know?
Yeah.
We came in when he'd really got his chops, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And, you know, everything will be made into a movie that Kirby touched in the end, won't it?
For sure.
Commandy, everything. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I love it, New Gen. Yeah. And this artist to copying him blatantly.
Oh yeah, no, and I welcome that, you know, because it's been a long time. It's been a long time overdue. But have you seen Arrow?
Yes, we can do that next, and I think it's okay. And I've watched the most recent one, but I didn't watch the first two series. The first two series I watched on a YouTube catch up.
Yeah,
and that meant I didn't even know Huntress had been in it and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I missed, they can't put everything in the YouTube catch-ups.
Yeah.
I like Arrow too, and I've warmed more to it than I first suggested doing this.
Yeah.
When I first suggested this, I liked Flash. I've watched all of the Flash, which is on series 1, episode 9. I've got 9 to watch, actually.
Mm.
In the, legally recorded Sky box thing. Honest guff.
Yeah.
And, well, it can't be pirate, can it? also, I've watched all of this series of Arrow and the end of last one where, spoiler alert, that canary died.
Mm-hmm.
And all of Constantine. And I really hoped you were gonna take Marvel Shield and Gotham for me. Can you see how I divided them? And you didn't get Green Arrow is a mystery, I suppose. But we've both watched Arrow. I take it, have we?
Yeah, yeah. I've watched a lot of Shield, Agents of Shield, and again,
and, Kieran's seen some of them. Who's here now? I'll say Kieran is here. Say hello, Kieran, to the Swashbuckler Show.
Hello.
And the Swashbuckler says hello to you.
Yeah, hello back.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, Shield. Shield is great because it's sort of Joss Whedon driven. It's got a lot of that what you were talking about. Yeah, it's got a lot of that that heart that you were talking about, and the scripts are good. You know, they're not. Like a lot of scripts in mainstream TV are sort of perfunctory, you know, they're good enough. They've got words in them, you know, they use all the right words, but they're cliched and they don't really. And the worst thing you can possibly do in a superhero show is do anything even remotely cliched, because the thing is cliched enough without layering on a whole level of.
Yeah.
You've got to start the bar.
Well, Dark Knight now, the postmodern is cliched almost in comics.
Well, yeah, exactly. But with S.H.I.E.L.D., they've gone with really smart, snappy scripts, you know.
Is it S.H.I.E.L.D. from Uncle? Is that fair?
It's, yeah, I would say a little bit of that, yeah,
good,
for sure.
That was their
for
best
sure.
option.
Yeah,
and they've got oblique references to Superpower.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've got like I would sort of pitch it somewhere like it's like the Shields from Uncle meets not the X-Files, because that's too easy. It's probably sort of bordering on like Fringe, because they try and be as sciencey as possible and okay. avoid any kind of.
Well, Shield was tech and not so much.
Yeah, for sure.
The only super one you saw in Nick Fury was often was Captain America. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's pretty much.
And
they tried to
keep
the capes
out of
it. Yeah, they tried to keep the capes out of it.
I could do loads of spoilers because I hear about all this stuff because the comic people know way before the TV or film people really. Yeah. Because that's where the script writing's coming from.
Yeah.
And even if the guy writing the TV show hasn't got form in comics, you can be sure his mates have.
Yeah.
And he'll be talking to them when he's working on it.
Yeah, for sure.
And you do get to hear these things. So, you know, you are going to get Black Widow, because they are building a Marvel TV verse, as are DC. Yeah. And in a way, we're reporting on that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Although Marvel have only got one in the water at the moment.
Mm.
I've also heard Ant-Man is going to be surprisingly good.
Yeah, I've heard that too, although if I had to pick a superhero to do a movie on,
no,
it wouldn't be high on my list.
Well, they did honest. Him, but I looked last night, actually, without even knowing we'd end up actually squashing in the end, but I looked at the next one is Black Panther.
Oh, right. Oh, that might be.
And it's Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, which I'm massively looking forward to.
Oh, I'm massively looking forward to it, and I really want them to. You see, I wonder if we're going to get movie remixes, because when the kit gets even easier, and it gets possible to, you know, do what you do on Photoshop, lasso a figure, and I'm talking the Thing in the Fantastic Four movie now, obviously.
Yeah.
If you can lasso him and then make him 7 foot tall and 4 foot wide.
Yeah.
That's an okay film. That's the only fucking thing wrong with that movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't pick the fire truck up with one hand while scratching his nuts. Thing, hello.
Yeah.
So they're remaking Fantastic Four because they fucked that up.
Yeah.
You know, they now realise, shit, 2 years later we're going to have done him as we did the Hulk. Because the Hulk is a knockout in the Avengers film.
Yeah,
it's great.
Absolutely.
And I haven't seen Thor 2. Is that any good?
You haven't seen what?
I haven't seen Thor 2, and I can't remember Thor.
No, I saw Thor. No, again, see, Thor was real good because it's a preposterous story. It is a preposterous story, and very easy to get.
Yeah, I did. I just can't remember it.
Very easy to get wrong.
Okay, I'll eat and carry on talking. You might hear some forks chopping on plates.
Well, we're going to have to sort of wrap up sort of soon.
Yeah, well, it's more of a testy one, really. But
yeah. But I'll just briefly tell you what I thought.
Yeah, carry on, sorry.
I haven't seen the second one, and I'm waiting for it to become available on a format that's easy to get to, because, of course, you can watch it if you really try, but I need to watch it on a proper screen and stuff, because the first one was really good, because of the preposterousness of the story. They had to work really hard to make it sort of likeable, believable, and fun, you know, because Thor, in and of himself, is not very interesting in many ways.
No, well, it's funny, isn't it? Because he was very engaging when you saw him first in the comics.
Yeah.
The idea didn't sort of have not really the kind of legs of the X-Men, for instance, mutants
or Daredevil or anything.
Limited Norse gods, you know.
Yeah.
If they'd have picked the Hindu pantheon, they'd never have run out.
But
that's absolutely a good joke. That.
Absolutely.
I'll stand by that one. I've got to that, and I think we can pick it up, the movie side of it, on another one anyway. Do you agree?
For sure.
But my review is that I like them all. I like the three I've looked at a lot, Arrow, Flash, and John Constantine.
Yeah.
And I think Matt's all right, because they're building a DC TV universe.
Yeah.
And the Flash-Arrow crossover recently was wonderful. Mm. The fight between Arrow and Flash... Yeah. Really well done and believable.
Yeah.
And Arrow's really true to the best comic version in a way, darker and...
Yeah, for sure.
You're giving up on millions and doing the right thing instead. Elements lovely to see in American culture, even that oblique, you know.
Yeah.
And the point of it is that Constantine, what might turn out to be Zatanna, Z in Constantine... Mm. Flash and Arrow are in place, and you know what that means. It means Justice League, and they are that's next for them, the DCTV viewers, listeners. Yeah. It really is. And they'll bring in the Batman and Superman from the coming Batman and Superman movie.
Yeah, the world's finest movie, which I'm also kind of looking forward to.
Mm.
Despite everyone's misgivings about Affleck, I mean Affleck can do almost anything. You know, he's all right. He did a creditable Daredevil. You know,
it's better than the script.
Yeah, it was. The Daredevil movie wasn't great. It was too early. I think they didn't.
Yeah, again,
nothing really had kicked in when they did that. So it was a bit sort of half-assed. But
all the best heroes are going to need to be almost entirely CGI, aren't they? And then just use the actual actor's face and head close-ups.
But they can do that believably now, you know.
Avengers is about the best job I've seen.
Andy Serkis wouldn't have had a career if they couldn't, you know.
Joss Whedon write it.
Avengers. The Avengers, yeah, I think he wrote it and directed it, so...
I think he's just head of Marvel TV and film now.
I think he kind of has, because the movie was so successful... monumentally successful. I think they're giving him carte blanche to revamp the whole, you know, Marvel universe if he so sees fit.
Interestingly, this is the coming world's finest, among others, is the nearest you've got to a Grant Morrison film, I suppose, isn't it? Mm,
yeah.
Because he's cut a swathe through all these characters and reinvented them. Not Constantine or Arrow, but he's certainly done Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
The four X-Men, famously.
Yeah. How did you feel about the Superman movie?
I need to watch that again. I can't remember anything about that either. That's too many. You're like Dave Pigott. He goes to the cinema to see them. He went to see Guardians. He went to see... what's the recent sci-fi, expensive sci-fi job?
Interstellar.
He goes to see these movies because he really is, like you, a proper cinema buff.
Yeah.
And he wants to see them at the IMAX, and, you know, Brighton's got ridiculous amounts of cinemas anyway. And he does, and he goes and he sits with a lot of parents and their kids, you know, and watches these films. And that's the real way to see them, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
You know, that's a whole other thing to watching them on a monitor or TV.
It's a different experience, for sure.
And I leave some a long time until I've got an opportunity to watch them on a big telly in peace and quiet. Because anything else, you're not really...
Yeah, it's just background otherwise.
Doing due credit to the world, yeah.
I like to be able to...
You see, he like you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You cut it out now. Thanks. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's cut.
Yeah, well, let's leave it for that episode, and we'll...
check that out, and we'll pick it up.
We'll pick it up another time, so, you know.
Yes, mate.
See you next time.
Yeah. Love to you and yours.
Will do. Thank you.
Use your unending will for as long as you can to develop your character, but do not let passion defeat you, alone nor with a sexual friend. These are important disciplines in the still formative years.
This has been Swashbuckler Epiphany Episode 5 with Clark and Bruce. Tune in next time for more music and talk, and the answer to the question, who was that masked man? Thanks for listening.